The following is a special presentation of American University Basketball and Federal News Radio. This is AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, a weekly look at all things Eagles basketball. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan is brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance.
Back out to Reed, right side. He puts up the three and he makes it. Jesse Reed with a big three, and the Eagles have the seven-point lead over the Badgers.
Jesse feeds off to Vosage. Marco, left elbow, puts up the shot, acrobatic style, and gets it to go. Vosage nails another one. Delonte Jones along the three-point line passes off to Washington. He'll step into a long three and swish. James Washington with a triple. That's his first made three in his college career.
Now with AU head basketball coach Mike Brennan, here's the voice of American University basketball, Dan Lang.
Welcome into AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, Dan Lang, alongside coach and director of athletics, Dr. Billy Walker. And we'll be joined in just a bit by Barry Goldberg, the volleyball coach over at American that just won the Patriot League tournament. But, Coach, let's jump in and talk a little bit about the game against St. Francis. Really a tale of halves. The first half is one that you don't want to talk much about, I'm sure. The second half, you guys played much better. And actually, if you look at just halves, you won the second half. Talk about, take us inside the locker room, maybe some of the ideas, some of the things that you wanted to get across to the players at halftime.
The biggest thing was, I mean, right now our freshmen are sort of the guys that can make plays, and they have ability, but they're just freshmen. Mm-hmm. So to be honest, the first half, you're playing your older guys, and they, you know, there's a hardness to them, but they're mostly sort of glue guys. So you need guys that can actually make plays and make shots. There's just too much pressure for them to stop the other team. You know, you got to be able to score points, you know, and you just can't stop a team, you know, every single time. Mm-hmm. So that puts pressure on them offensively, puts pressure on them defensively. The second half, I said, we're going to just play our freshmen, you know, so sort of give them this opportunity, see what they can do. I thought they did a great job. They remained focused throughout the entire second half. In a game like that, you look up at the scoreboard and you can easily sort of get down on yourself. But we said, hey, let's try and chip away at the lead. You know, let's just take it segment by segment. I said, this is your opportunity now. You know, you're going to be in there for an entire half. You know, you got to take it possession by possession, just like practice. And I thought they did a great job. You know, each time out, you know, you saw things and you came back, after a 3 or 4 minute segment and you said, okay, well, this is what happened there, you know, and this is where we can sort of make improvements on that. Mm-hmm. And you actually saw them trying to do it in that game. And they did a good job. They won that half. They chipped away at the lead. They played every possession offensively and defensively, you know, throughout the entire half. So, you know, as bad as the game was, it's, you know, we got something out of it. And, like I keep saying all along, and I keep telling these guys, it's right now, it's not wins and losses. It's just getting better every day, you know, and yep. That's how coaches think, you know, and that's how you have to think as a coach and as a teacher. You just want to show improvement.
Yeah, Mike, obviously nobody likes having a first half like that, but you know what's going to happen sometime in your playing career, your coaching career. It's just a matter of how you respond, right? And so I would think the way you were just saying, you kind of answered my question a little bit, but going into halftime, telling them, hey, we're going to come out and just like you said, take it one series at a time, one possession at a time, one segment of the game at a time. I think was the general feeling after the game that, you know, obviously you weren't happy about the loss overall, but at least better than going into half, you know, at least feeling like you made some progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I said it, you know, I keep saying it to the guys too. It's like we don't know who are the guys that are going to make us win at the end of the day. It's going to be, you know, hopefully we can get contributions from everybody. But that game, you know, we played a ton of guys. You know, we played a lot of guys, and we sort of saw what guys can give us right now. And we saw what things each individual needs to improve upon and what we need to do as a team. I didn't go into the locker room sort of, you know, all, you know, fire and brimstone, you know, yelling at them. It was just like, hey, here's where we are. This is what we need to do in this second half. I told them it's this is where you find out who your competitors are. because it's easy to just, you know, get down on yourself and give in and stop. These are the times when you find out who's going to keep going, who's going to keep playing hard, who's going to do all the little things continuously, regardless of the score. And, you know, I was happy that our guys responded the way they did in the second half.
And you as a staff saw, did you see something from some guys in the second half that surprised you or that you were happy about?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's our freshmen there's ability there. And it's just getting them to the point where they have that hardness that they, you know, they understand the importance of a possession on offense and they understand the important possession on defense. So our older group sort of gives us, that sort of experience and hardness on defense. So hopefully our freshmen are picking those things up. But, you know, again, it's, you know, they can make plays. They're good basketball players. They help each other. So it was good to see all four of them, you know, get experience and do a lot of positive things out there.
James Washington is one of the young players, one of the freshmen. We heard one of his highlights in the open, and he's a guy we haven't talked yet much about here on the show. He played 27 minutes in the game against St. Francis, saw flashes of his creativity. He had 3 assists, came away with 5 points. Where do you see him right now?
Again, it's just getting used to playing offensively, knowing when your shots are coming. He's just trying to be in the right place at the right time, you know, offensively and defensively right now. So, you know, once he gets comfortable and he understands just those simple things, then he can actually, you know, do more because he definitely has the ability to make plays, to get to the basket, to do a lot of different things. So it's just, you know, again, it's just getting that experience, understanding, hey, this is where I need to be, understanding those simple things. And then once he has sort of a firm grasp of that, then he can start to, you know, you'll sort of see his creativity and his ability to help, you know, make plays and help others.
Time for our first time out here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Fans and alumni, get your tickets now for the next men's home games. Thursday, December 17th at 7:30 p.m. versus Stony Brook, and Sunday afternoon, December 20th at 1:30 p.m. versus Maryland Eastern Shore. Purchase tickets to all men's and women's basketball games at AUEagles.com. Again, that's AUEagles.com, or by calling 202-885-TIXX, 202-885-TIXX. Back with more AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan right after this on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan in front of the tip time from Richmond at the top of the hour when his Eagles will be playing VCU, the Rams, and welcoming in the volleyball coach from American University, Barry Goldberg. And his team just won the Patriot League tournament, so they have the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, big win for you guys over Army West Point, taking it 3-0. For you, 13th league title in 15 seasons. When you hear that, what sort of sticks out when you hear that? I mean, that's pretty dominant performance right there.
Maybe from the public, but for us, it's one day at a time. You know, you just take what you got and keep trying to build each year. We've had a lot of gifted people come through our program. And for me, I get to sit there on the bench and watch all this. It's it's pretty good. You know, you don't go through the past or the future. You're just dealing with what's in front of you. And it's how we play the finals also. You know, you're dealing with the semifinal 2 days prior to that, so you don't even know who you're going to play when you get to a final. Mm-hmm. And so all you can do is play that semifinal. You're not even talking about the next game or the next game. It's one at a time when you get into the playoffs for all these teams, all the sports too. So, yeah, we've been able to just concentrate on one at a time. And we have enough scoring power on our team to be successful. And that's been the difference. We've had great scorers who can get it done.
Yeah, Barry, like Dan just said, 13 out of 15. That's ridiculously impressive. But how do you – the regular season this year, you know, you play a double round robin. For those that don't know that, you play a double round robin like basketball does, and there's 9 schools that sponsor it. So, but you were undefeated going into the tournament. So 16-0 plus the 2 wins, 18-0 in the Patriot League this year. That's talked about that a little
bit. Well, we were a senior-laden team. We had, you know, our four top players, all of our big scorers were all seniors. They've been through this for a number of years. And so this is not a – you know, a one-time shot for them. They're, in fact, many of them this weekend were legacy ideas of thinking, I could do this all 4 years. Monica Schmidova, our setter, the 1 year that she hurt her knee and didn't get to play was the 1 year we lost. And she now has the distinction of saying all 4 of the years I was starting setter for that team. We won the league and made it to the NCAA tournament. It's a pretty nice accomplishment. So they've been with us a while. When you have seniors who've been through this and have found success, they know the feeling. They know what it's like. They have the vision for it. And they just push through and succeed to that. And that's their vision. And that's what they're trying to accomplish. And they did.
You mentioned Schmidova and the fact that she's the Patriot League Player of the Year, the Setter of the Year. And she averaged, what, almost 10 assists and 3 digs a set. What has she meant to this program?
Well, she's certainly, as a setter, sort of basketball point guard, quarterback, all the other sports leading person for your team. She is, you know, she's pretty self-critical of getting her game to the next step. Likes it very much when I push her to that without having to get in her face or any of that. It's just simply explaining. And she's been the kind of player, like, I think after her first year, you could see that her performance defensively digging was not super. She was jumping around all over the place. The ball's hit and she's like, you know, surprised, which is what you see a lot in high school players. The ball comes to them and they're surprised it came to them. We even see it in the other sports. But, you know, you tell her something like, no, you got to increase your digs per game here. You're having, you know, 12 opportunities. You're only making 3 of these right now. And in year 2, what does she do? She's at 3 or 4 a game now instead of 1.5 a game. And this past year, it was her blocking that was not as strong. And she was at about 0.4 per game. And as a right side person who gets a lot of opportunities to block, that's not a great number nationally. So it was, Monica, you got to get your blocking down here. She increased her jump like 5 or 6 inches in the 4 years she's been here. She's touching like 9'10", 9'11". She was like 9'5" when she got here. So athletically, she worked at getting more physically in performance and took it to heart that she wanted to block better. And this year, she's like 0.67 or something like that. So she's increased it by a third of her output. And so when you give players those kind of things and they actually make moves to get that, you know you got a special person, because so many of them you say, you've got to do this better and these are your numbers now and you've got to get to this. And they say, sure, sure, sure. And they're just stuck at that place. Can't get past it. And she was not one of those. And that was one of the leaders of the team. When you have a leader and a quarterback who's actually making progress, the rest of the players do too.
It's nice to have another coach in here saying sort of the same stuff I say all the time, to be honest with you. It's, you know, you're getting better every day, one step at a time, you know, having senior experience and leadership. So it sort of sounds redundant when I'm saying it every year. But so it's good to hear that, you know, that's what coaching is. You know, that's what the whole college athletics is all about. Mm-hmm. But Barry, congratulations on another, you know, terrific season, another nice one.
Yep.
And, you know, all the success, all the accolades, you know, individually and as a team and as a coach.
Thank you.
Maybe take us through. You got players from all over the world. Maybe take us through the recruiting process. It's not an exact science. And there's a million different ways to do it, but how do you find these players?
Sure, I was an assistant at Pitt right after college, playing at college. I went to Pittsburgh and played there, and you know, we had mostly people from Pennsylvania coming to play for our team, and once in a while we get some California player or something like that. And so, you know, I come down here, and finally I get a job at American. It's a small program, not that much there. And I'm thinking about Pittsburgh and what we did and how we had to find people. And you had to know, okay, this is who we are. We're from Pittsburgh. You know, where is this? What's that? And we knew where it was because I grew up there. But, you know, you got to know who you are. Okay, so I'm looking at American University. I'm in Washington, D.C. And I'm saying, okay, who am I now? What is this place? It's obviously a small school. There's not a huge tradition of sport yet at the school. And so you're figuring out, what do we have that would give us an edge to say this is who we are? And it's not, you know, you could walk to the back gate of the campus and see the the embassy of South Korea right behind us. Mm-hmm. And so, and within 1 mile, there's 60 of those different embassies. And so I'm thinking, wow, this is obviously a worldwide city. Everyone in the world knows our city. It's got to be a part of what we're doing. And so I think the second year, third year, there was a person in Southern Maryland who's a volleyball player that we were friends with that, you know, knew, was actually from Switzerland, but lived in D.C. area. And we were friends and started talking. And she said, I have a younger sister who would love the chance to come and play here. And she's a junior in high school at the time. Would you consider it? I said, sure, let's see. And, you know, at that time, there weren't even that many films out on people. So you're just taking people's word for granted. And but you're seeing the resume of the person, and she had a chance to play with her youth teams, things like this. And so she comes over there, and she's clearly the best player on our team. After she, you know, passes all the exams, make sure she's a student qualified to get into a top school. And she wants to be a student athlete. Many of the people in Europe, as I learned at that point, many of them are, you know, have to choose one or the other, because the schools will not work with the sports. Your sport coach is completely outside of the school system. And the school coach or the school people are saying, you got to be in class at this time, and this is what we're doing. And the coach says, no, you got to be at the practice field this time. This is what we're doing. And they don't talk to each other. And so we've got a system here where we actually talk to each other and work things out for one another. And so that was clear that these internationals became a pathway. And more, I wasn't even going over there or anything. It was people coming into my office in D.C. saying, hey, interesting, you know? And so did some research. And certainly as films became more prevalent, was able to look more at the who's who. And worked out real well. And one by one, we've built an international connection so much that I have Arizona, Oklahoma, and all of the other coaches around the country calling me now saying, can you tell me how to do this? Can you tell me when they're 9 and 22 in their season and getting near the end? I'm getting these phone calls these next couple weeks. And I've had some in the past 3 weeks from some of the bigger schools. And my boss is sitting right next to me saying, don't tell them anything, I'm sure.
Exactly.
But, you know, they're friends of mine. And, you know, there's enough players out there. It's really a matter of getting players, even in this country. I mean, more than half our team has been U.S. players. So it's really a matter of trying to find players that are in range of what some of the top teams could do. I'm not going to get these top players. I've learned that. We've knocked our head off the wall trying to do it. Don't waste my time that much. Throw it out there a little bit, see what comes back. But the bigger issue for us is certainly just trying to do a good job with whoever we get.
Right. Yeah, well, you mentioned that earlier, just the whole development process, right, and how they, you know, over the course of time, you know, you tell somebody something and they pick it up. It seems like international students really appreciate the incredible opportunity they have over here. And I mean, they excel academically, and they're some of the hardest workers that we have on our team.
That's
for
right.
Sure. And I'm sure it's the same for you.
Well, there's a lot of pride also in the person in the country that they're coming from. We have a couple of Polish players right now. It's really easy for me to go up to them and say, when they play poorly, what did you tell your mom and dad about how you played this weekend? You know, because they have the sense of pride. And when you ask them that, they're here representing their families and their countries from around the world. And so there's this sense in them to say, I want to be Polish and still be a success in America. What a great opportunity for them. And so, you know, you can now, if we have a player from Annapolis, if I say, what do your parents think if you didn't play very well? And they'll say, oh, they were at the game. Go ask them, you know?
Right.
Right. Different response. So it's a different scenario. And certainly the internationals also bring a sense of maturity in terms of seriousness of them wanting to be good, which is good for the Americans. The Americans give the internationals a sense of optimism as well. We have this incredible optimism. Look how much we've invented in this country. Look at what has been going on around the world. It's just been phenomenal for the interaction between both the international and the American.
One of the other players I want to hit on before we let you go, I know you got to get to looking and getting ready for the tournament, is the libero of the year, Huakalei Dawson. Yeah. looked at as perhaps, and I'll let you answer this, but the most improved player this season from where she started to where she is now?
Well, improved because she really never played the position we asked her to play. So she was coming in with a zero. And so in her first reception play of the year, she was certainly moving us forward. She actually did get a chance last year to play back row for us because we had a pretty solid team last year as well, making the NCAA tournament. And so she came in, and this year she took the role of the lead person out of the back row that's handling most of the serve receive that comes on, which is a big part of the game because, for instance, the Army match we just played in the finals here, Army was hammering the serves at us. And we ended up with Huakale passing incredibly well to the setter. She's taking a serve from about 70 feet away, being struck pretty hard, coming at you, and you have to take the ball that's fairly small and round, and you have to give it to the setter so she can do as whatever she wants with it, not just hit it anywhere and have her running crazy all over the gym. Huakale was excellent this weekend. We had Army. We held them to one service error, and they had one service ace and 11 service errors.
Wow.
In the final game. And mostly because when they put it on the court, Huakale was putting the ball up there pretty nice, along with Allison Capolino and Ola Kazawa, our other outside hitter, that those three were receiving the serve. And we ended up with six aces and seven errors. And so it was clear that we were much more effective in the serving and the passing of the game. And that's point scoring right away, instantly. So that means the rest of your team was standing there ready to get the ball hammered at them, didn't even have to do anything. And it's just a great relief when you have a great serving team to score a lot of points that easily. It's like layups, you know, stolen balls that you're going all the way down the court and easy dunk-ins and going back and then doing it a bunch of times. You love those. Your percentage is very high, you know, and it's just a good scenario when your team is able to serve that tough in our sport. It's scoring points immediately.
And Coach Brennan is smiling and nodding in approval.
Yeah, we're trying to get more dunks, layups, right. Easy baskets.
Barry, we'll leave the conversation there. Congratulations on Patriot League title. And the NCAA Division I Women's Volleyball Selection Show will be held this upcoming Sunday, November 29th at 9 p.m. The tournament begins December 4th or 5th at selected campus sites. AU Basketball Game is the perfect venue to host your next party or group event, organize a group birthday party or neighborhood outing, and enjoy discounts and recognition at the game. All groups receive block seating, savings off the box office price, a welcome on the vendor video board, and a visit from Claude the Eagle to your seats, all for as low as $3 a person. Call the Athletics Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. Again, that's 202-885-TIXX to book your outing today. Back with more AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan right after this on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan as we approach the top of the hour and tip time in Richmond when Coach Brennan's Eagles are taking on the VCU Rams. And well, let's dive right in to the idea that Shaka Smart, not there anymore. He's now the head coach at Texas. But his first ever assistant, one of his first ever hire, Will Wade, is back and he is the head coach. Is there much of a difference in the havoc that he runs versus the one that we saw Shaka run?
Right. I'd say there's probably a lot more similarities than differences. Right. Whatever the differences are, you know, they're probably apparent to both of those guys. But it's just a relentless pressure. You know, they press you full court. They just, you know, put the heat on, and then they keep it up. You know, once you break the press, there's no sort of breathing room. You got to get right into your offense. And then the other thing is they're at warp speed when they're on offense. So they're pushing it in transition. And even if they're running their half court offense, I mean, they're going, 100 miles an hour. So it's, it's a hard game on both ends. You got to be engaged completely. You can't relax. I'd say that, the biggest thing about them is just their relentlessness on offense and on defense.
Melvin Johnson is their leading scorer. He's scored over 20 in all but one of their games so far. He's averaging almost 20 points. What do you see from him when you look at game film?
Yeah, well, Melvin's one of the best shooters in the country. I remember him when he was a guard from New York, seeing him in high school. But he's more than just a shooter. I mean, he's a long-range, three-point bomber. But he can also, get in the paint. He makes pull-ups. He's a good decision-maker. He makes plays off of ball screens, you know, so he puts a lot of pressure on your defense. So he's going to be a handful.
Jaquan Lewis is one of the guys that helps orchestrate the offense. He leads the team with almost 6 assists a game, comes in averaging 7 points a game as well. He, I guess, is a guy that's defined as a guy that helps facilitate.
Yeah, no, he's fast. He's tough with the ball. I think it's true of all of their players that there's just a toughness there in everything that they do. So, you know, he's getting to the paint, and there's just a sort of a sense of I'm gonna get to the rim. You know, I'm sort of getting through all obstacles. So it's an entire mentality that this team has that you know, you just got to be ready for. And they, you know, every one of their players is a very good player that has that mentality.
So, Mike, how are the guys, you know, you talked a little bit about that St. Francis game earlier, but so coming into this game, obviously a tough challenge, but a big stage and an exciting environment to go down. How are the guys feeling about playing down there?
No, they're excited. They're excited. I mean, everybody likes to play games like this. You want to test yourself against the best teams in the country. This is one of the best atmospheres in the country. I've heard their band is probably the best band in the country. Although they, you know, if they don't have you on the drums, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, right.
but no, you definitely want to be tested. And it's a completely different game where, you know, sort of St. Francis was kind of letting you run your offense almost and forcing you to make outside shots. And, you know, this team is, they're going to be all over you. They're going to be playing you full court. So, you know, it'll be a different type of challenge. But our guys have, you know, responded well in practice, and, you know, we'll be ready.
And right now, VCU sits with a record of 2-2, coming off back-to-back losses against Duke and Wisconsin. We'll see what happens in just a few minutes. Thanks for tuning in to this week's show. For Coach, for Billy, I'm Dan, reminding you, coming up next, right here on Federal News Radio, it's AU at VCU, live from Richmond. We'll also have for you the Eagles contest at the University of New Hampshire this coming Saturday afternoon, a 12 noon tip time. That game has been moved again, Saturday, 12 noon tip time from the University of New Hampshire. And from the entire Eagles basketball family, we're thankful for your support and wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Thank you for listening to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Today's show was brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan on Federal News Radio. Archived episodes available online at AUEagles.com.